we bring you the Living Book Broadcast, the old, old message in modern language. We begin our reading with Job chapter 19, verse 1. The reply of Job. How long are you going to trouble me and try to break me with your words? 10 times now you have declared I am a sinner. Why aren't you ashamed to deal with me so harshly? And if indeed I was wrong, you have yet to prove it. You think yourselves so great? Then prove my guilt. The fact of the matter is that God has overthrown me and caught me in his net. I scream for help, and no one hears me. I shriek, but get no justice. God has blocked my path and turned my light to darkness. He has stripped me of my glory and removed the crown from my head. He has broken me down on every side, and I am done for. He has destroyed all hope. His fury burns against me. He counts me as an enemy. He sends his troops to surround my tent. He has sent away my brothers and my friends. My relatives have failed me. My friends have all forsaken me. Those living in my home, even my servants, regard me as a stranger. I am like a foreigner to them. I call my servant, but he doesn't come. I even beg him. My own wife and brothers refuse to recognize me. Even young children despise me. When I stand to speak, they mock. My best friends abhor me. Those I love have turned against me. I am skin and bones, and have escaped death by the skin of my teeth. Oh, my friends, pity me, for the angry hand of God has touched me. Why must you persecute me as God does? Why aren't you satisfied with my anguish? Oh, that I could write my plea with an iron pen in the rock forever. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will stand upon the earth at last. And I know that after this body has decayed, this body shall see God. Then he will be on my side. Yes, I shall see him not as a stranger, but as a friend. What a glorious hope! How dare you go on persecuting me, as though I were proven guilty? I warn you, you yourselves are in danger of punishment for your attitude.
Tears of sorrow are seen as
Now the speech of Zophar, the Naamathite. I hastened to reply, for I have the answer for you. You have tried to make me feel ashamed of myself for calling you a sinner, but my spirit won't let me stop. Don't you realize that ever since man was first placed upon the earth, the triumph of the wicked has been short-lived, and the joy of the godless but for a moment? Though the godless be proud as the heavens and walk with his nose in the air, yet he shall perish forever, cast away like his own dung. Those who knew him will wonder where he is gone. He will fade like a dream. Neither his friends nor his family will ever see him again. His children shall beg from the poor. Their hard labor shall repay his debts. Though still a young man, his bones shall lie in the dust. He enjoyed the taste of his wickedness, letting it melt in his mouth, sipping it slowly, lest it disappear. But suddenly, the food he has eaten turns sour within him. He will vomit the plunder he gorged. God won't let him keep it down. It is like poison and death to him. He shall not enjoy the goods he stole. They will not be butter and honey to him after all. His labor shall not be rewarded. Wealth will give him no joy. For he has oppressed the poor and foreclosed their homes. He will never recover. Though he was always greedy, now he has nothing. Of all the things he dreamed of, none remain. Because he stole at every opportunity, his prosperity shall not continue. He shall run into trouble at the peak of his powers. All the wicked shall destroy him. Just as he is about to fill his belly, God will rain down wrath upon him. He will be chased and struck down. The arrow is pulled from his body, and the glittering point comes out from his gall. The terrors of death are upon him. His treasures will be lost in deepest darkness. A raging fire will devour his goods, consuming all he has left. The heavens will reveal his sins, and the earth will give testimony against him. His wealth will disappear beneath the wrath of God. This is what awaits the wicked man, for God prepares it for him. Now Job's reply. Listen to me. Let me speak, and afterwards mock on. I am complaining about God, not man. No wonder my spirit is so troubled. Look at me in horror, and lay your hand upon your mouth. Even I am frightened when I see myself. Horror takes hold upon me, and I shudder. The truth is that the wicked live on to a good old age and become great and powerful. They live to see their children grow to maturity around them, and their grandchildren too. Their homes are safe from every fear, and God does not punish them. Their cattle are productive. They have many happy children. They spend their time singing and dancing. They are wealthy and need deny themselves nothing. They are prosperous to the end. All this despite the fact that they ordered God away and wanted no part of him and his ways. Who is the Almighty God? They scoff. Why should we obey him? What good will it do us? Look, everything the wicked touch has turned to gold. But I refuse even to deal with people like that. Yet the wicked get away with it every time. They never have trouble, and God skips them when he distributes his sorrows in anger. Are they driven before the wind like straw? Are they carried away by the storm? Not at all. Well, you say, at least God will punish their children. But I say that God should punish the man who sins, not his children. Let him feel the penalty himself. Yes, let him be destroyed for his iniquity. Let him drink deeply of the anger of the Almighty. For when he is dead, then he will never again be able to enjoy his family. But who can rebuke God, the Supreme Judge? He destroys those who are healthy, wealthy, fat, and prosperous. God also destroys those in deep and grinding poverty who have never known anything good. Both alike are buried in the same dust, both eaten by the same worms. I know what you're going to say. You will tell me of rich and wicked men who came to disaster because of their sins. But I reply, ask anyone who has been around, and he can tell you the truth, that the evil man is usually spared in the day of calamity and allowed to escape. No one rebukes him openly. No one repays him for what he has done. And an honor guard keeps watch at his grave. A great funeral procession precedes and follows him as the soft earth covers him. How can you comfort me when your whole premise is so wrong? We've been reading from the Living Old Testament, a paraphrase. We've read Job chapters 19 through 21. Now here's a special invitation to join us the next time we come your way with the Living Book broadcast.